Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're on The Burt Show.
Turns out producers Jackson and Mikey are in a heated competition that we will get into here in just one second. Jackson, I do have to say one thing, man. As we were doing the photo shoot yesterday in our diapers and I took a look at the pictures and I saw it in real time too. I am very jealous of your legs. You don't miss leg day, man. It's very impressive.
Thank you. I didn't know that this was where this conversation was going to start.
Yeah, nobody did.
Nobody.
Anything can happen over the next couple of weeks.
Very true.
Yeah, but your legs looked good in a diaper.
Wow, thank you. I was very excited that my tattoo got to see, you know, the light of day for the first time in a while because I don't really wear diapers or things that short very often. So
really, you don't wear diapers very often, huh?
It's funny how we've had two completely opposite experiences, because here you are admiring Jackson's legs and I'm still trying to scrub the memory of it from my mind, because both Mikey and Jackson were enjoying themselves so much yesterday. I go to the back office where they hang out, and they're both just sitting there spread eagle, thighs out, skies out, white as can be.
There's got to be a bit for your podcast where one of these guys like pees in their diaper while they're wearing it.
Oh yeah, it's not gross. That's a normal thing to do.
Who can wear the diaper the longest without taking it off?
There's a bit.
Yes.
All right, so what's going on between the two of you guys now? You got a little competition going on.
Well, me and Jackson found ourselves in the middle of a race because we have been inching and inching closer to 2,000 followers.
Hey, that's good.
Well, it's actually pretty terrible. We have the least amount of followers of anyone on the show. Not that great, but we've kind of been in like a silent competition with each other for a long time now.
Okay.
But now we're actually about to hit one of those milestones. And I believe that I deserve to hit it before him. He's got a pretty good lead on me, but I'd like to try to convince some people unfollow this man because he doesn't deserve it.
No.
Oh, so you're not trying to get more to yours. You are trying to get those to unfollow Jackson.
Yeah, he's getting a little bit blindsided right now because this wasn't the idea, but yeah, unfollow this guy.
That's insane. So I've always had a kind of a handy lead ahead of Mikey, and we've been like just comparing back and forth over the last few months. Yeah. And then after he did his college football segment where he went to College Game Day and did that, he got like 200 followers all at once basically from that and really caught up to me. And so it happened to occur right before we're both about to hit around 2,000. But I'm realizing now that we're both close enough that I think we should maybe extend the goal to be a little bit more lofty than that.
Yeah. He's like 16 away right now.
Okay, before we do that here, Mikey, I would like you to go to Jackson's Instagram.
Okay.
And I would like you to take a look at the pictures, and I would like you to tell people based on the pictures that are there right now why they should unfollow Jackson.
Okay, well,
based on the pictures that he's posting.
Because he barely ever posts.
The first picture I just pulled up here, Jackson's dressed like Copernicus next to an orange lady, and that's nobody even gets that.
Who's Copernicus?
I don't know. And then he's got a dumb little tattoo. He's chopping up sushi. That's your ex job, man. Come on. He's standing in the sand with his shoes on. Not that cool. He's holding a bottle of liquor. Oh, this guy drinks. Nice. He's standing next to a waterfall. Oh, big outdoorsy guy, right? And the caption is "Big fanny pack guy now." Work on it. Whoa, you used to be really skinny, huh?
Stop, Mikey.
Wow.
You did. Wow.
Congratulations, Mikey. I think you just lost a bunch of followers.
No, what happened?
this show.
Life comes at you quick, Mikey.
You're holding the dog by the ears. Not cool, man. That's not good to do to the dogs. He really is. Look at that, Kristen.
Yeah.
Not good, huh? No.
Those are its paws, by the way.
I mean, how can you even compare the two of you and your accounts where Jackson has 37 posts? You have what, 12?
Yeah, 12.
Mikey, 12?
Because
you want people to follow you on 12 pictures?
Look, here's my whole thing. And I wasn't even going to attack his post until you forced my hand. But I am completely unpretentious on social media. The easiest follow you'll ever have. You get one post a year. I will never fill up your feed. And you get a story of Waylon Jennings once a month. That's all I give you. That's all you need. You might say, who is this guy? And then you click on my face and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember him. Whatever. He doesn't even fill up my timeline, so who cares? Jackson, on the other hand, every single day is posting like a car burning in the middle of Atlanta, tagging ATL Scoop, like, post me. Pretentious.
Here's the thing, guys. All right, Mikey, yes, you have 12 posts for all 12 years that you've been alive on this planet. And I will argue that you actually post more because you're constantly tagged in all of your girlfriend's pictures. And who wants to see more of a happy couple on their Instagram page? Not me, nobody. And I'm going to take a slightly different route to how I intend on garnering some followers here. I'm not going to go the low route and tell you to unfollow Mikey, but I will say, for every follower that I get over the next 48 hours, I will donate $1 split between Burt's Big Adventure and Rebecca's Cancer Walk, the 5K that's happening this weekend.
That's a good strategy.
Wow.
That's
wow.
A good, because right now, if I'm doing the math right, there's only one follower that is the difference between the two of you guys.
No.
Yeah. 1943, right?
No, that's impossible.
Isn't it?
I'm at 1925.
I got 1993 and 19. Oh, yeah.
These all sound like new Taylor Sheridan films that are coming out. 1923, 1924.
I think we've learned that this show, math and numbers are hard, and so is knowing who Copernicus is. Who, by the way, is the guy who figured out that the sun is the center of the universe.
Got it. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
You just like the name.
I like your strategy. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, for every time, if Jackson starts losing followers, I will do the same thing. I will donate $1 to something. For every time his number goes
this
down.
This is counterproductive. This is completely, and I will put zero cap on this. So if I get 5,000 followers over the next 48 hours, I truly will make this promise that I will donate that amount.
Okay.
My Instagram handle is Mikey Wakefield.
Mine is Jackson Kim. There's a period after the J.
Oh, that's easy to find.
All right, come back tomorrow with an update, okay?
Will do.
What are you so proud of yourself
for
right
now?
Look at
this.
I hit 2,000.
It's my phone is constantly buzzing.
Look at all of
this
them.
Is insane.
So how much does Burt's Big Adventure get right now?
Right now, $21.
Okay! Yay!
Unfollow that guy.
Listen, it's The Burt Show.
As we look back at The Burt Show over 25 years, our last day is going to be October 24th, and I'm trying to sequester my emotions from it right now.
Good luck!
So we've been looking at past years, and I mean, a turning point in The Burt Show was 2011, when our longtime host, Melissa Carter, was ready to leave.
One of the original members.
Yeah, man.
A founding member of The Burt Show.
How you ever going to replace her? And I never have been able to.
Been chasing that high ever since.
It was so funny because the one, it's weird what you can remember, right? Like, and you know, there's also a lot of like misremembering. And then you hear something, you're like, oh, that's the way it went down. But what I do remember is you constantly telling the audience over and over and over again, I was not Melissa Carter's replacement, because those were big shoes to fill. You kept telling everybody that this is not her replacement. There was an open chair. So I'm not trying to do like a Melissa Carter 2.0. Like, her tenure was phenomenal. She
was beloved.
She was, oh man. Like, Melissa and I had a couple of encounters after she left and I joined the show. And when I tell you, I don't even think that woman understands the impact she had on me. So we ran into each other at an event in a parking lot. I want to say it was for Toys for Tots, if I remember correctly, or something of that line. And we just happened to be in passing. She was leaving the event and I was getting there, or vice versa. And she...
It was so short and sweet, but we exchanged pleasantries. We said hello because it's the first time we had met in person. And she was just like, hey, make it your own. Like, you got this. Establish your place and be yourself. And you got this. Because, you know, it's hard coming into an established show. And I mean, Abby, you understand this. When everybody on the show have been working together for so long and they have this rapport and, like, you're the new kid coming in and you want to fit in, but you also don't want to overstep boundaries and you're trying to find your footing and find your way with, you know, this ensemble that has, like, crushed it in the radio world. Like, this was the Burt Show. Was and is my dream job. Like, this was what I had been gunning for from the moment I stepped into radio. And so, you know, for her just to be like, you deserve this, you've earned this, like, make it your own, have fun, and just go with it. And just hearing those words from her, just she, I don't think she'll ever understand how much that meant.
You should tell her.
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Because we actually crossed paths at a Pride parade years later. And I got to tell her how impactful that moment was.
Do you have her number?
I do not.
She and I have been texting. I'll give it to you.
Well, no, we're going to bring her on the show. I mean, we're going to reach out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We don't know if she's coming on or not.
No, we don't. But just so you know, like, we, there's a lot of planning behind the scenes when it comes to these last couple weeks of the show. And I know you have been communicating with her. So we're definitely going to reach out and see if she wants to come on.
I'd love that. I'd love that. There's so much subtext here, and I don't want to rush through it because we're going to play when Kristen announced that she was going to join the Burt Show. And she was still on another show at the time.
Right? Yeah, you're hearing my announcement from Raleigh, North Carolina on G105. I don't remember any of this.
Imagine getting a divorce, right? And your husband or wife is like, you know what? While we're not divorced just yet, but go ahead and tell all of our friends that you're already linking up. You already know who the next person is going to be. That's how it was in radio, right?
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah, essentially.
So we're going to have to go down memory lane here. And you and I have not talked about this, but how we met.
Yeah.
And then the process of us getting to know each other had a lot to do with alcohol every step of the way.
Well, I mean, it is us.
Was it the first time? Was it Miami Radio Convention?
Boot camp, yeah.
It was boot camp, right?
In Miami. So he and I had met at a boot camp. I don't remember which boot camp we had met at, but we met. And then we really bonded at that Miami boot camp. And had been talking about, like, the position or whatever. But as soon as I saw on the radio trades that Melissa Carter was leaving the Burt Show, I went and found my old cell phone, found the old charger, plugged it in because I knew Burt's number was on that phone. And I got the number and then from my new phone hit him up and said, hey, I heard you got an opening on the Burt Show. I would like to vie for it. And then started bombarding this man with emails and with air checks. I mean, every day I sent him something like, hey, here's a little something here. Oh, here's a little something. I mean, and so it wasn't just my reel and my resume and my cover letter. No, every day I was like, this is why you need me. This is why you need me.
Heard the show today. I would have made this joke. It could have been funnier.
Yeah.
So it's so funny because I remember exactly where we were. We were outside of a pizza place and you and I were drinking while we were talking in Miami. And then it started to get a little bit more developed in like the interview process, right? Mm-hmm. There was another woman on the show that I was contemplating as well. Mm-hmm. She was in Orlando at the time. She came in here. She interviewed also. And it wasn't going to work for two reasons. A, she came in here and did like a trial Burt Show, right? And then I found out after I left the studio and the other members of the Burt Show were still in here, she was planning on reorganizing the chairs of the Burt Show so she could sit in a certain area.
Stop.
All right. So that was the first sign of entitlement.
And you're going to tell about the extra night?
Yeah. And the second one was I brought her into Atlanta for a couple of days to interview her. And of course, when you're interviewing somebody, you pay for their hotel, right? Well, after the interview, she extended her stay. Her boyfriend girlfriend came in from Orlando and they didn't even offer to pay for their room for the extended time. They charged the Burt Show for that.
No.
Never even brought it up. And at that point, I knew she's out. I might not hire Kristen, but I know it's not going to be this girl. Right?
And for me, I flew in and flew out the same day because I still was doing mornings in Raleigh. So I, because the whole cast was involved in the process of who was going to be filling the chair, right? And so when I came in to meet everybody and talk with everybody, I flew in that day and also flew out that day so I could get back to do the show the next morning. And I remember, I think they were testing me because they took me to Johnny's Hideaway for lunch.
The rest of the members did?
Yes.
Okay.
That's hysterical.
I didn't even know that place was open for lunch.
They have a buffet of like mini corn dogs and potato skins.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But we did that and there was a massive storm and the electricity went out. So we were sitting in Johnny's Hideaway in the dark eating mini corn dogs and potato skins.
That's a bad omen.
Yeah. The last place you want to be as a woman is in Johnny's Hideaway when the lights aren't on.
But I also remember, I think what sealed the deal for you and I, oh my God, there's so much to cover here.
Is this Charleston?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So... So when you're interviewing for the Burt Show, right, you mm-hmm. have to pass the Burt sniff test, and then you have to pass the show sniff test.
And look at this schnoz.
Yeah.
It's a long process.
You really sniffed her out, right? And then you also had to pass the Stacy sniff test, whom Burt was married to at the time.
Way more critical than me, man. Way more critical.
Oh, this is the one test I didn't have to pass.
So my husband and I, we leave Raleigh and we go meet Burt and his wife in Charleston, where they had their beach house, right, in Folly. So we're meeting them in Charleston and we're going to hang out with them at this rooftop in Charleston. And we're hanging out and we're just, having a nice conversation and it's going really, really well. Like everything's clicking and I'm like, oh, this is brilliant. And then I knew it went well because Burt and Stacy invited us to have dinner with them. With Stacy's parents.
No.
Yeah. At a fancy schmancy hotel, right?
Yes, it was a really nice steakhouse in Charleston. So there we are at dinner with Burt and Stacy and her parents. And I think it was her dad's wife and Gigi. Were they all there?
Yeah.
It was crazy dynamic. And I am trying to keep up with the Weisses. And they're drinking.
And the Sakels. It's impossible. This is a drinking family at that time.
So I am shammered. But I'm trying to keep my wits about me because this is an interview, right?
Yeah.
And they're telling me, oh, you guys need to go out. You need to do a carriage ride, blah, 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 in the city. And I'm like, okay. We leave that restaurant and I'm like, Bart, get me home. Get me to the hotel. I'm about to vomit. So hungover the next day, leaving from Charleston to go back to Raleigh. And do you remember the phone call when you offered me the job?
Do I? No, I do not.
I did not handle it well.
I do.
I was.
Remind me again.
You were miffed.
Were you not like totally excited?
No, I was, but I didn't accept.
I don't remember that.
So Burt calls to offer me the job.
So you've been jockeying for this thing for weeks, if not months.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But a new bombshell had entered the villa, and I was being courted by somebody else. And I didn't know how to handle this.
What city was that?
It was in Seattle.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You remember?
Yes.
It was Fitz.
That's right.
And it was a morning show in Seattle. And he and I loved this man. He was a blast. Had also met him at morning show boot camps. And so he was courting me. And so there was something potentially there. And, oh my God, Burt called to offer me the job. And I was like, okay, well, I got to think about it.
I'm like, what?
No.
What? I mean, what?
I had immediate regrets. And I think I hit you back and I'm like, I wasn't prepared. I didn't handle that right. I am so sorry. Like that, because I could tell by his reaction. He was like, she's not saying yes. Like, what the hell is wrong with this chick? Right. It was so... It was an awkward start.
And then even then, like when you're putting together a show like this, and I think at that time, I think maybe we had started syndicating the show already.
You had just started. You were in Nashville just and Indianapolis. Started.
So Tommy can take it from here because I was there was one thing I was reluctant about. Again, we are new to syndication. I'm trying to think like maybe this thing's going to blow up. Maybe we're going to go national. So I got to be really careful about who I select for this position.
All right, so originally I was going to play you telling your old members of the show, Jeff, Jen, and Wendy, about Kristen, and then that includes, but that whole thing was like 12 and a half minutes, and we've already talked that long.
Okay.
So I've whittled it down to where Kristen is telling her show at in Raleigh.
Okay, let's do this too also. What I was getting at was I didn't think that Kristen's Southern accent might play on the Burt Show. So it was one of the reasons why I was continuing to look for other people, because I thought, heck, we might end up in Boston or New York, which we never have. but is this Southern accent? Is it going to become a Southern show, which I don't think the Northeast would accept at all.
You wanted a more regional dialect.
I wanted a more regional dialect. So that's how the whole thing started here. Okay.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So we could do exactly this.
Today's my last day with Bob and the Showgram. I had no idea how long I was going to be here. I didn't know what the future would hold. But it's because of this show and what I've learned and how I've grown that I've been able to accept a job down in Atlanta. And I'm going to be doing mornings with the Burt Show on Q100.
That's awesome.
Thank you. We all know change is not easy.
Can I just say, yeah. I completely disagree with what Mike said. That sucks.
It's awesome, and it sucks.
It's awesome for you.
Which makes it bittersweet. I know change isn't easy. Sometimes it's necessary. And I'm super excited about my new opportunity. But like I said, it comes very bittersweet. Because we've built a family. And I think one of the most important parts of our family is the listeners. And that's why I'm so blessed that they gave me this opportunity to be able to talk to you, because I have never met more dedicated, more loyal, more passionate people in my entire career since I've been doing this. And I could never possibly thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life. Listening to the drama, we've been through all my highs, my lows, we've laughed together, we've cried together, and I am so lucky that I get to tell you, thank you for listening, but most importantly, thank you for caring, because that's what means the most. I can say without a doubt, I am a better person for having been a part of this show. I'm going to take so many life lessons, and I am forever grateful that I got to be a member of Bob and the Showgram. Forever grateful that I got to be a part of this. And after 5 years, I think we can all agree I'll be best remembered for my singing prowess. So,
oh my God,
if it's
funny.
Okay with you, I thought it was fitting to end with this.
And I'll take with me the memories to be my sunshine after the rain. So hard to say goodbye to Raleigh.
I feel good that I got that out of my system.
Can I tell you something?
Yes. No, I can't cry anymore.
No, I'm just going to tell you. I've never missed somebody before on the show. I've always been glad that they left, and I'm kind of sad.
I am, too. I mean, I'm super excited, and I'm...
So I know I piss you off a whole lot, but it's kind of mean. I'm sorry, but you're the only person that I've ever had on the show that I will miss you. I've been so glad when other people left, and I'll miss you.
Thank you.
So that's all.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I give you some Atlanta tips?
Absolutely, sure. You are a Georgia boy, which I think is so funny that that's where I'm headed.
Yeah, so go eat at the Varsity often.
Absolutely.
Don't worry about getting a little plump, because all girls in Atlanta have a little plump belly.
Them Southern Belles, them Georgia peaches.
Yeah. Don't walk around by yourself at dark.
Okay.
Because you'll be at, they'll find you in a car someplace in the river.
I don't want to be like some kind of CSI, you know,
right.
Story.
Yeah, it's really bad. Traffic sucks.
I know that.
The Falcons aren't as good as everybody thinks they are.
But I will be in SEC country again.
That is true. That's all I can.
Damn it, Jim has a special request.
Oh.
He said, can you please give us a nip slip on the webcam before you leave?
It's always about.
Oh, damn it, Jim. I mean, some of these listeners, seriously, I will never forget you as long as I live. Damn it, Jim being one of them. And, Trucker Wayne.
Trucker Wayne, yeah. All right. All right. So we're going to move on.
We are going to move on because we have a show to finish.
Yeah.
And I say I ain't a quitter, but I'm leaving after the show. Yeah. But at least we'll finish this one.
It's the last thing, can you say at the very end of the show today, I quit this bitch?
It would be my honor and my pleasure to quit this bitch today at the end of the show.
There's a lot to unpack here.
Wow. First of all, I respect that guy's honesty. He had no filter. He doesn't do the morning show anymore, right?
No, he doesn't.
He had what was so beautiful about him and was industry known as he had no filter. So to be able to come on here and go, everybody that has left the show, I am happy about, except you. I could never.
I mean, that's classic Bob.
I'd like to point out that I was on that show longer than Kristen was.
He wanted you to go too.
Bob can kiss my ass.
I've poked so many from that show. Kristen, Tommy,
yes.
Mike,
yes.
Jimmy Alexander.
Yes,
that's right. Four from his show alone. It was so good.
He was, Bob, a phenomenal storyteller, right? And
so
just
good. So brutally honest, which got him in trouble a whole bunch.
Oh, we were suspended multiple times.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
It was
a very different time also, but still.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking 20 years ago, right?
It still shouldn't have been said.
Yeah, it probably still shouldn't have been said. But what's crazy is, like, listening back to that, it's so fun. I had, like, hardly any recollection. So if we just want to replay that on October 24th, I feel like it'll, you know.
I would tell you, you were only there for 5 years, and you gave that kind of emotional goodbye. Oh. I better get five times that.
Boy, October 24th is going to be ugly.
And I'll be honest with you, because, you know, here we are in the spirit of honesty. Our show, The Burt Show, at that time was just going through a weird time. It was just... I can't put my finger on it. I don't know if we were just age. I don't know what it was, but we were going through a more serious time on the show, and it was just kind of flat to me. And I needed to bring in somebody. I mean, and Melissa Carter was so good and so funny and so great, but the show was just kind of feeling a little flat, and it needed some color. It needed some...
Stupid. You told me it needed stupid.
We needed stupid. We really did. We were too serious, right? And Kristen, I mean... That was a natural fit.
As my dad always said, what's the point of being stupid if you ain't going to show it? And what better than have a platform like The Burt Show?
in a top 10 market and starting its syndication journey. Yes, I wanted to showcase my stupidity, not only to Atlanta, but to the entire country.
Right. And it worked out okay, I'd say.
It did.
It worked out okay.
It worked out pretty good, man. That was crazy to freaking relive. Thank you, Tommy, for finding that. That was insane.
Yeah, so let me ask you this question also. As you hear yourself, this might get emotional for a second for you. As you hear yourself say goodbye to one audience in Raleigh, knowing that you're going to have to do that again here in a couple of weeks on The Bert Show, what you thinking?
It's too early for this, man. Listen to me. And I mean, that was 14 years ago last month that I said that goodbye in Raleigh. And so as I was listening to that and talking about how awesome the listeners were in Raleigh, and man, they were, I mean, those were some dedicated listeners. And I really never thought I would meet such sweet, compassionate, kind listeners like that, even though they weren't like that out the gate. They had some issues with me, but they learned to love me, damn it. God, the same goes for here. Our listeners are incredible.
Yeah.
They really are. And just the way this city, with the way you embraced me and the way they embraced me and grew and like what we've been through the last 14 years, us and your lives and you and our lives, there are not enough words to say thank you for what we've been able to experience together.
There better be more.
There will be.
There's got to be more words.
Yeah, this was not supposed to be on the schedule today. We actually were supposed to talk about something completely different. We were going to relive a completely different moment, but the universe, the universe and had a different take.
I am lucky to be in here every single day with you.
Ditto, sir. Love you.
This is The Bert Show.
So a weird thing is happening in my wedding planning this time around that is very different than the first time I got married, what, 30 years ago?
What, that you're actually excited this time?
Yeah. No, I was excited then also. I was scared. I was so young. I was just so nervous about it. I'm not nervous about that at all. But it was also such a different time for me that Stacy and I were in Dallas and we were preparing for a wedding in Washington, D.C. And I had just started on Kid Craddock's show. So she was handling everything, you know.
And that's pretty much, I mean, I would say that's typical that the bride takes control of a majority of the wedding planning.
And Stacy, to her credit, was such a great business partner also. She's like, you need to focus on what's going on in Dallas right now. I don't even want your input anyway, so good for me. I'm going to plan everything. So I can't remember picking anything out, to be honest with you, and getting involved in it whatsoever. It's different this time.
Yes.
And I'm excited about it.
You're more hands-on.
More hands-on. We're having a lot more communication about it. I'm not really making decisions on things, that's for sure. But at least we're talking about it. I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me. Here's one thing. And Cassie, grab a mic here also. And maybe this is common. And because I don't have any experience actually having my hands dirty and planning a wedding, she was telling me yesterday that as we're getting ready to get married in Mexico in March, that she and the hotel or somebody that's helping her out with it, she had to have put together a mood board for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, a mood board for a wedding day? I had no idea that even happens. She explained it to me. I had no idea that was part of a wedding process.
Yeah, your mood board is basically like the vibe, the aura, the energy that you want your event to have. And it's not just, it starts with aesthetics, but it builds to more as far as like, it's not just what the cake is going to look like or what the linens or the florals, or it's just the overall vibe you want for your wedding. And that could be like a million different things.
And this is normally because we're not using a quote unquote wedding planner, but this is something that the wedding planner would put together?
No. The bride would.
The bride does.
Yeah, because
she puts together her own mood board?
Yeah, because the wedding planner doesn't know your personalities and what you want. Like, you put the mood board together to give to the wedding planner so the wedding planner can execute your vision.
Think of it like a Pinterest board with all your favorite things that you're like, okay, I want beach vibes, okay, but I don't want like bright color beach vibes. I want moody sunset beach vibes. And so you pin all these different pictures. Like, I had boards for the wedding itself, for flowers, for the cake, for the dress, like for the bridesmaids, each one had its different old like mood vision Pinterest board.
I have been so clueless. So she's telling me that table measurements are being sent back and forth and pictures of configurations and stuff. I thought that a wedding planner, and again, we're not using a wedding planner. I don't know how it all happened, to be honest with you. I just thought that you told like the wedding planner that I'm going to have 150 people there. This is the room we're using, and they figure it all out.
Oh my God, are you delusional?
I really had no idea.
sweet summer child.
I had no idea.
Naive, sweet.
I didn't know that they were measuring things. Yeah. And they're sending pictures back and forth to each other, and yeah, no idea.
You can do that. So like my venue was like that, but then I didn't realize you guys were placed behind a column, and I would have put that table somewhere different. And so that's why that sort of stuff is important. And then you can definitely be hands off, but also when you're looking at tables, if you already know your groupings and your seatings, you want a size table so all the people who are connected can sit together.
Oh, I hand selected where every single person was going to sit.
Same.
Like tables, like you guys were the party table and you were right by the DJ and the dance floor because I knew you would get out there. And then I had another family with young kids and I had to keep them separate from the rowdy table. So they were back here. My dad's table was a little longer because of family members. Everybody had their place as far as the not just who they were sitting with, but the actual table and where the table was located at the reception.
That makes some sense to me, especially the organization of who's going to be sitting with who, because a wedding planner has no idea if there's any kind of friction. You got different cliques that are probably going to hang out with each other. So that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I quite honestly didn't really know what a wedding planner is.
The wedding planner would remind you to do that so you weren't like me getting your literal hair done on your wedding day being like, oh, I forgot to do a seating chart. So I was doing a seating chart while getting ready for the wedding and I had my sister run to FedEx to go pick it up, which is why I didn't know where any of the tables were. I was just trying to shove people together and you can't ever please anyone. But a wedding planner would have been like, hey, you need this submitted by this time so I can get these graphics printed. How do you want people to find out what their table looks like? Do you want to just tell them? Do you want them to take a champagne glass with their wedding table number on it? There are lots of different ways. And these are the little details that wedding planners would think of.
I'm not exactly sure why she has decided that she's going to do this mostly herself and not use a wedding planner, but she's notoriously cheap, to be honest with you. How much do wedding planners normally cost?
I have no idea.
I didn't have one, so I don't know.
You didn't have one either?
No.
Okay. Uh-uh. So it's not like mandatory.
No.
It's helpful for like really bigger weddings as well, or weddings with lots of moving parts. I mean, I did it myself, but then again, the venue where I went, Wolf Mountain Vineyard, there, the owner also served a little bit as the day of coordinator. So I had that taken care of. And one of the groomsmen's wives is like a big New York City wedding planner. So she stepped in the day of to help with logistics.
The wedding I just went to, they had a day of planner. So they didn't have somebody leading up to the wedding, but they had somebody there to execute everything the day of, because they're the ones organizing people, getting them in the right places for photography. They're also organizing, getting people at the end when, if like we did a big sparkler exit, it's organizing like the cake and the dance, like the DJ, like they just make sure everything goes according to schedule and plan the day of the wedding.
I know things went wonky with your wedding planner the day of the wedding, but Cassie not using one and Kristen using one that was a kind of ghosted her on her wedding day. Looking back at it, would you have changed that? Would you have hired a wedding planner and would you have not?
I would have.
You would have.
I would have hired one day of, because the photographers showed up and they were fantastic, but hadn't scouted the location. So I had to direct them where to shoot. And I was really hoping they would do that. And I think just the logistics day of, and honestly, having my friend Sarah, who is the New York City wedding planner, they have like, I got some mud on the bottom of my dress and I was starting to panic. She's like, it's not a big deal. Nobody will see it. So somebody there to sort of be like, take control and take the reins. And when things start to go awry, just sort of get things back in line. So I would have had at least a day of planner, and I'm really grateful to Sarah for that.
And you?
Oh, I'd still have a wedding planner.
Still have it.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Just hire a different one.
Yeah.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.